Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
Good morning. How are you? Good. I was blessed on Tuesday night. We had our midweek chat about the, it was on the Holy Spirit, and we've got a whole series on the Holy Spirit. Wow. And we just had the whole evening was just sharing, effectively, all the kind of extremes, you know, people sort of fear, the worries that they have and all that sort of thing. And it was so amazing. And I was incredibly blessed. And it was quite emotional. And good old Frank was there, and Mercy, and lots of others. And I remember Frank sharing and just affirming people as well. He's got, it's a gift, isn't it? And I've been really pondering it since then about, you know, the sort of things we can get hang-ups about, you know? And the Lord kind of gave me a word almost, I feel, last night, today. It was like permission. He wanted me to say permission. That whichever way, whatever we do, how we keep in step with the Spirit, how that looks for us authentically, we have permission. If you're, and I'm not even talking about the Sunday hour, but let's kind of talk about that. So we're here and everyone's stood up in front of us doing this. And you want to sit there and just soak and be quiet. Permission. You have total, authentic permission to be you in Jesus. Everyone else is sat down reflective and you want to jump up and give a word. And you just want to say, Lord, thank you. I'm so excited about you. And the Lord gives you heavenly utterances to worship him amongst us. You have permission. Isn't it lovely? It's permission. Can we give each other permission as a family? A permission that celebrates the different ways we all follow Jesus. That's the key, isn't it? Just different. Not wrong. Just different. So please join us. It's not this Tuesday, but next one. It's the week Tuesday where we're looking at Holy Spirit. Who is he and how he worked? How he's always worked through the scriptures and how does he help us serve Jesus in those valleys and in those other places. And thank you, members, as well. If you're a church member today, thank you for coming. Thank you all for coming. If you don't know me, I'm Keith. I serve here. But we have a shortish meeting, hopefully about half an hour after the service. And we're going to affirm Josh. And Holly, Josh and Holly are there. Do you want to wave or stand up or whatever you do? I don't know. There they are. Josh has been serving, pastoring alongside me for 5 years. And we've kind of done well with that. And we just want to affirm him now and say, and that family, and say, look, we want to affirm him and gather around Josh as a family and Holly and the kindest family. And just say, look, we thank you for your service. So we're going to do that. And after that, if you're still really up for meetings, Portugal 2020 team have got a meeting as well. So gosh, you could be meeting down today if you really wanted to. Let's pray. And then we're going to look at God's word. We're looking at 1 Thessalonians at the moment. And what it means to be a Jesus follower. And so let's pray and we'll, Lord, be with us. We really need you. We know that it's not men or women that communicate your truth. It's the Spirit of truth himself that can only communicate what you really mean. And so we thank you that your word is in our hands today, Lord. And what a privilege. I'm touched by the videos I see of people receiving Bibles in those countries where it's illegal to own a Bible, and they open and rip open the boxes and are crying with joy because your word, your written word, has been delivered into their hands. And Lord, I want to repent of my blasé approach to your truth today. Lord, I've kind of gotten used to it being available, and so might it be you would give me a freshness A passion, a hunger, a thirst for your truth, O Lord. Like a parched land of my heart, might you, Holy Spirit, come and pour in and show us, show me, please, what it is. Thank you that you are building, Lord, your church. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Thank you for your servants here. In every ministry, we pray you'll raise up men, women, and young people as we serve in and outside of this building. In all the various ministries we've heard of, even today, Lord, we're dropping. Would you raise up people with a gospel heart, with a passion for those who struggle with mental health and homelessness and loneliness? Might you just raise up those people, Lord, who represent you well, who follow you and can show others how to follow you too. Thank you so much. We particularly pray and lift up our dear sister Lindsay, who is in hospital at the moment, Lord. We pray, Lord, that she will be out soon with this pneumonia, that they can give her medication that will treat that well so she can be treated at home with that. Thank you for, Lord, she's tireless, but Lord, she's human, and sometimes you just set us aside, and Lord, help us to step up and to do what you've called us to do. We are the body of Jesus here, Lord, the body of Christ. What is my place as you call me to serve you wherever you place me? So for those who are frail, sad, need a touch from you, need to know that you are still on the throne. You are, but sometimes our emotions take a little while to catch up. Would you speak to us now? Speak through your word. Bless the work amongst our children and youth as it goes on now, Lord. Thank you. They're not the church of tomorrow, they're the now church. Thank you, Lord. There's no such thing as a junior Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord God, you'd anoint. They'd come out anointed, excited, Lord, willing, wanting to serve you, to know what it is you've got for them, their young lives. Thank you for the examples we see and who they see in the examples in our dedicated session leaders. So bless them too as we meet in Jesus' name. Amen. It was a little thing I put in the pastor's desk. It's I entitled it Three Words. I don't know if there was, if sometimes it's hard to summarize who you are in Jesus in a sentence or 300 words, isn't it? One of the exercises we do in our training with pastors on disciple making is we ask them to summarize the good news of Jesus, sometimes called the gospel, in 300 words. That's quite a lot, isn't it? That's not too bad. And it's actually really quite difficult. Sometimes people struggle because they're wondering, what on earth do I leave out? Because what we leave out matters just as much as what we put in to what we say who we say we are and who he is. And so it can be quite a challenge. And so my title today in the pastor's desk was Three Words. If there were three words that you could use, that's hard, isn't it? That could really summarize what happened to you. So imagine someone in the staff room at work or at university or college or school saying, so what happened to you? What was it when you became a Christ follower? Because they might ask you that if you tell me you're a Christ follower. That sounds a bit strange. What happened to you? And you might have a conversation. And the three words I've chosen for today as well are from, to, and king. From, to, and king. Because I think in those three words, now for you it could be slightly different. And I'll unpack a little bit of this. But it might be slightly different for you but for me it was all about, I had to kind of communicate that Jesus wasn't just someone bolted onto my life. And that it wasn't just I was carrying on in the same direction and Jesus was just kind of following me. You know, that can kind of come across. And so it was really interesting. I needed that. I've come from something and I've turned to someone, to a new ruler, to a kingdom, and a new king. And so that's what I'll be unpacking that a little bit today. And the Thessalonians, we're kind of what the Bible's really good at. It gives us a little glimpse of this really young church. These people hadn't been Christians very long at all. I don't know if you're a Christian yet or whether how long you've been a believer, but these hadn't been believers very long at all. They really hadn't. Yet they, in the face of incredible persecution, Can you imagine being in a church where people might say, oh, where's one of the elders this week? Or, oh, they've been taken away and imprisoned. They've been questioned, or worse. Imagine what that might do to what we really mean about following Jesus. What might that do? And I've called today about following intentionally. I think it takes real intentionality, especially through those valleys and through the difficult times, to really say, Lord, you know, I mean this. Just remembering what I said yes to. Because Paul's writing to this young church, he's heard that they're going through awful times, and he says, you know, in the midst of your joy, thank you for reading, Richard, but he said, in the midst of the great suffering, you had joy. In the middle of the suffering, how on earth is that possible? That sounds to me like a supernatural. It only can be a supernatural living faith. Because I am not that happy, humanly speaking, in the middle of great trials. I'm, frankly, miserable to be with. And so, how on earth that happens in great trials, I don't know. But this is what their message was as a church. Listen to what Paul says about the church in verse 8. I'm looking at 9 and 10 today. We're finishing chapter 1. The Lord's message rang out from you. Imagine that. It's like a bell. It's like the chapel bells. The Lord's message rang out from you. And do you know what? It wasn't only where you were. It wasn't only in Macedonia, in your kind of area, and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. And you know, sometimes, and I think we do it as churches, and I certainly do it as an individual, I forget that when Jesus gave us the project in Matthew 28, go into the world and make all disciples, I think I forget that it's an international project. And the worst case is, I sometimes think it's about me. The next worst case is it's just about what I do in my slither of service. And the next case is I might just think it's what our church do. But I'm absolutely certain, because I've looked at all the versions, that Jesus never said, go into Jerusalem and form small groups. Now, I think they started there, and that was really good. But it is an international project, so I often have to ask God to remind me that it's an international project. I'm involved in an international project. And we were so blessed some months ago, I mentioned it recently, when we had Eustace and Camille from Lithuania, who used to live in that old post office flat there, right opposite the church, before they knew Jesus. And they came to visit, and through the loving kindness of people here that God used, and the Holy Spirit of God speaking to their hearts over a long period, even, believe it or not, outside of this place, way beyond, both subsequently came to know Jesus and are now looking at church planting and looking at forming a disciple making movement in their little village in Lithuania. I mean, this is what God does. We're involved in an exciting. And what that does for me, it takes my mind off my obsession with the local. I've got to have my feet in the local. But my obsession, do you know what I'm saying? There can be a bit of an obsession with my local. And so it's really good. And so he says, I just wonder what it would take, as we look at this morning, what would it take for my faith, or imagine the faith of this place, or whatever it was as a collective, to be known everywhere. Have you heard? Have you heard what's... Not that we want to be special, but can you imagine what it would be like? If it's like, wow, wonder what sort of believer I would have to be. And so I've looked at this text here, and I see that really, the first thing it involves two things. If I'm going to be let's use more up-to-date language, viral believer. Maybe if you're a millennial, you might get that. You're a viral believer, infectious believer, really widespread. It involves initially two things. It involves a turning from following Jesus and a turning to. Both are absolutely essential, and they're both in verse 9. It says, for they themselves report, the people who've been reporting about your faith, says Paul, what kind of reception you gave us. And listen to the from and to. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. There was a really clear, so in this report from people all over the then known world, from the church at about Thessalonica, these people have turned to and from. So this was the core of the report, was that there was a to and a from in the lives of the believers. They didn't kind of say, oh, they've formed a church. They've started to do this type of ministry. I mean, that may have been in the broader conversation, but the core identity of this church was that they've got a great from and to story. There's a from and to here, not a dramatic testimony or story of how we found Jesus, but a from and an identifiable from and to. And so it says here that the Thessalonians turned from idols. So what's an idol? What is an idol? Has anyone got any ideas? What's an idol? I'm going to do this on the floor. An idol. Forget pop idol. I was going to go on it, but... What's an idol? What's... Oh, that was great, Jane. You didn't even need the mic there. Something you worship. Something that, yeah. Any brilliant. Sammy's got his answer.
An idol is whatever takes the place of God in our lives. Whatever human, cars, whatever it is, money, whatever takes more attention of God in our life becomes idol.
It takes our attention, so it's like a worship, isn't it? Absolutely right. Oh, you definitely say, yeah, you got something to say back?
Something you put before the Lord.
Right, something that you put in his place, yeah. I don't know why I'm putting this in my mouth, so I've got this one. So, yes, something you put in his place. Yeah, way before him. Yeah, any others want to expand on that? Yeah. Something you're relying on. Absolutely relying on. And we often don't know what those things are until it all goes a little bit wrong. And then if that one thing we're relying on fails and we collapse and that's it. That's really telling, isn't it? And so often this sort of stuff is good to talk about in calm seas. But actually when it really hits the storm, then that's when it can be. When the wind and the rains come, I think Jesus said, didn't he? You know, the wise and foolish builders. They both get the wind and the rains, you know, the one that builds on the rock, that rock of obedience, that following, absolutely got the word of God. And just knowing that actually, if I'm in the will of God, that actually... it's going to be okay. And I think that was announced from our worship team this morning. It doesn't feel okay all the time, but it's going to be the outcome. And I'm looking from an eternal perspective now, because I think sometimes this life might not always deliver what we want. And I think, but the Thessalonians had something different in the sense that they had a real obvious from and to. Some brilliant answers there, thank you. And anything can be an idol. I had them written here, you said them all. Work, home, acquiring things, whatever. Whoever has our allegiance. You know, I've even heard people say to me, and it's a nice thing by the sound of it, oh, well, I worship my family. It's hard to criticize it, isn't it? A little bit. You feel, you can't say it's terrible. It's not about not loving those things around us, is it? Is it about the rightful place and the order and knowing all good things, including our family and our possessions and our work, all come from him. In him we live and move and have our being. You see, it's important. The Thessalonians had a great from and to. You see, if I respond to a gospel, a message that says, come and be forgiven. That's all you need to know. It's not incorrect, but it's just, I wouldn't use the word incorrect. The word I would use is incomplete. Very different. Incomplete. Absolutely. Do I love my forgiveness in Jesus when I realized I needed forgiving? Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. Wasn't it beautiful when you realized that everything you'd ever done, you could be forgiven? But the danger of that is that it might produce, if it's just a forgiveness-only message, it might be that Jesus is simply bolted onto my life. And so, I used to say this, that I've invited Jesus into my life. And that sounds, I don't want to nitpick. It's just that actually, if I actually think about that saying, I haven't really invited him into my life at all. He's actually called me to follow him. And that is a very different proposition when someone says, actually, are you going to come and follow me? It sounds subtle and it sounds a bit, you know, well, come on, what's... Do you see what we're saying there? But so often, I can squeeze. I remember in the early days, if it wasn't working quite well, I might squeeze my patience, might squeeze things in, give little time to the Word of God and to prayer. And that's how it was. But you see, there's also a two in the Thessalonians. They turned from their idols. So Paul says, the people reported how you turned from your idols. All those things that had dominated your time and allegiance up to that point, you turned from them to serve the one and true living God. And everybody was talking about it. Have you heard about this? I told you before when I got saved in the school holidays at the end of year 11. And I didn't have year 11 then, it was different, but it was at the end of year 11. I went to school sixth form, and with my badge on, Jesus loves you badge. Real huge mistake. And I had some really horrible friends. It sounds a bit of a contradiction, but they would just dive in and really sort of critique. But you see, they also had a two. And so, I remember going to my sixth form, and they didn't say, oh, what's happened to you then, Foster? They sort of said that sort of thing. They all call you by the surname at school. It's horrible, isn't it? Horrible, really. We're doing the Navy as well. That's even worse. I'm glad you call me Keithy. It's so lovely. It takes me a while to get used to it. I'm just saying. Don't call. Someone's going to call me Foster after the service. I'll be upset. No, I won't. I'm all right. But you see, Paul says you had a beautiful two. How you turned to God. You didn't just give up something. You turned to something. And why is allegiance and absolute devotion important? Well, I think we see this in the life of people who had extreme allegiances in the past. Can I talk about perhaps people who've had severe addictions? What can happen is if they turn from that, but there is a bit of a void, so they're not really sure about the two, or their two might be described as simply coming to the church building to celebrate what God has done on the cross, which is amazing, how he saved them. There can often be, I've seen this in plenty of people who've had serious addictions in the past, who've wanted to come to Jesus, is they need to fill that gap. The Spirit of God wants to fill that gap with a total addiction to Jesus. Can I use that word? A complete allegiance to Jesus. But actually, that might not look like simply just coming on a Sunday or just, you know, whatever it might be. It's a total 24/7. Because they were used to every waking hour with the addiction, waking up and the first thought in the head is, I need to service that idol. I know this is very tough for many of us. But I want to use that as an example because we are all subtly addicted to things in the world. And it may not be as obvious. And so Jesus wants our total allegiance because he realizes the danger of the world. And it's so subtle and it's actually quite acceptable that we just fall into the ways of everything else. But with the Thessalonians, you turned to God from idols, to serve. Now that word, serve, servant, ebed, doulos, To serve means, what would you like? What's next? What about, how can I? It's that sort of approach. Lord, what is it? You turn to serve the living and true God. And the question comes to me and to all of us today. If we're going to have a worldwide faith, did you change direction when you came to Jesus? Did you change direction? Was it something that, well, I've just always come along here. I've just always done this. And I understand that it's extremely difficult, but I honestly think that every single believer without exception has a from and a to story. A moment when it was, gosh, wow, whatever language you use, you may be more expressive than that. Amazing. And I just wonder, has there been a visible change in me? I remember going back to school and really letting God down in so many ways. I'd stopped borrowing the cars. I'd done that a few years before that anyway. And I used to take them back. But I'd stopped doing that. But there was definitely, people said, oh, Foster, you don't swear. And I didn't really think about that. Some people still struggle with language when they come to, that's not the big heavenly padlock. For others, it might be a smoking thing. The Lord will choose how he wants to change us. It's okay. Permission. Just keep in step. Ask him, what is it? And all these other people, says Paul, to this really baby church, a report on how you were with us, how you turned to God from those idols that had dominated your affection and attention. I just noticed you just went doing what you used to do. It's interesting. The Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church could say in 2 Corinthians 5, if anyone, absolutely anyone without exception, is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. There is an incredible Corinthian church, it's not just a Thessalonica, a from and a to. And it's all from God. And you see, the second thing that really motivated what we see the Thessalonians wasn't only that they had a from and to story, they knew who their king was. They had an ongoing motivation, Christ's return. It was there in verse 10, he says, you know, you're doing this as you wait for his son from heaven. One of the major things when I became a Christ follower at 16 years old, none of my family was saved. I didn't know what to do. I just prayed and I think it was beautiful in a way. I didn't have all the, do you know, we can get hung up with all the stuff, can't we? It was just God that says what he's going to do, and he does it. It's great, isn't it? And I just remember that the return of Jesus was a massive thing, is a massive thing for me. Just the thought that my king, who I'd now given my allegiance to, at any time could come back. What would I be doing? Where would I be? What would I be saying? And I used to think, goodness me. And I'd probably say that was one of the most single motivations for me sharing Jesus, if I'm honest, is that I was really worried about those I loved not knowing him and what would happen when they died. I just was. That's good. That's okay, isn't it? It's okay to be sad about people who are not saved, isn't it? Maybe we should be, shouldn't we? And I used to look at my dad, getting grayer, and my mum with wrinkles. I mean, she was beautiful. And I used to think, oh, Lord, what's going to happen to them? So I had a real joy, Lord, come back now. Come back now. But there was a tinge thing which was, and you know, when the whole Bethel campaign in 1928 started, one of the core things was the return of Jesus. Core parts of the Constitution. And it was something that I just was motivated by it. And what I love about Thessalonians, every chapter ends, or contains, an encouragement that Jesus is coming back. Your king, who you're allegiant to, is going to come. And I absolutely love that. And so what does transformation look like that makes it public, like the Thessalonians? Well, there will be a from and a to, plus our faith, you see that formula there, will be public and reportable. We'll be publicly following King Jesus. It might not be loud. You might not be tapping the boss on the shoulder tomorrow and saying, do you know who my new real boss is? You could do, dare you? I said that once in a bit of an argument with an old boss. It's probably not good to say in an argument, is it? Is that a contradiction? Well, you're not my real boss anyway. No, I don't think I said that. Sorry. But it's so good to know King Jesus has got you. I used to really enjoy knowing Jesus was my boss because, especially if I was having a rubbish time at work, you know, you get bullies and things, don't you? People, these sort of people. And knowing that the Lord wasn't, I've said this so many times, I want to encourage you. If you're allegiant to King Jesus, he's not going to keep you where you are a minute longer or less than you need to be. You know that. He's not. Because he's your boss. He's not surprised by all your ins and outs and all your worries and all the things that happen in time. He's not surprised at all. You don't have to rush into his office and he says, oh, why didn't you tell me earlier? I could have done something about that. He's all right. And he's allowing things to shape us. And so transformation, Paul says, your transformation was you're from your idols to serve the living and true God. And you're following the King Jesus, the Son of God, who's coming back for you. Wow. No wonder people are talking about these young Christians in Thessalonica. Even though they've been executed and all sorts of awful things. And they were watching for King Jesus. In a sense, they were demonstrating to a watching world where Caesar was Lord. Remember, the Romans were in charge. They were saying, actually, no, Jesus is Lord. And you know, we might say, well, that was fair enough. If you stood up in Roman rule and said, Jesus is Lord, you were in major trouble. Because Caesar was God. Really. In Roman eyes. And he was Lord. And that's why Paul can say things like, do you know what? No one can stand up and say Jesus is Lord unless the Holy Spirit helps them. And we look at that and think, oh well, you know, I've said it 10 times. Jesus is Lord. Did the Holy Spirit help me? No one can stand up and declare their allegiance to King Jesus when there's a risk of being executed, unless the Spirit of God really equips them to stand in the face of severe persecution. That'd be a better translation. And so people used to be baptized in the New Testament under the Caesar's rule. Imagine being baptized. There could be people coming in that they were really cautious about who came in, watching an open baptism, and they'd come out and they would say, they would declare, Jesus is Lord. So that's why we've changed some of the language around, some of the baptisms or things around. Do you declare now your public allegiance to King Jesus? Because we are publicly declaring the fact that we are serving a new boss. The Ephesian church, we're doing well, had the same thing. They'd come out of witchcraft. Imagine that. Some great stories of people who've been oppressed, need great prayer. And so the same church who turned from their idols to serve the one and true living God, Paul, they turned from their idols. In Acts chapter 19, they burned all the books, all the witchcraft books, because they turned from, in Ephesus, their witchcraft to serve the living and true God. It actually says there that they did. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. A number who practiced sorcery in Acts brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. Acts 19. They burned them publicly. It wasn't a quiet thing in the bedroom. The Ephesian believers burned their witchcraft books publicly. They turned from to and then announced publicly that they were allegiant to a new king. From to king. I wonder what three words actually would describe. If someone was saying, oh, do you know that person's a believer? Do you know, I'm really sad sometimes. Many, many, many years ago, I was in a place, and someone came to me, and was talking about a believer. They weren't a believer, and they were saying, "Well, why do you do this?" I said, "Oh, there was quite a few of us in this company who trust Jesus," and he was like who?" So, I thought I'd mention a couple. I didn't think it was bad, and I mentioned a couple of people. And he went, "You're joking. Are they a Christian? I've worked in the same office as them for 20 years. I didn't know." Now, I can't judge that situation because I wasn't there in that particular office. But can I tell you, that makes me really sad. That makes me really sad. That actually, here's Paul. And there's a real pattern. Can I just say, I didn't just make this up and shoehorn it into the Bible. I was sat there writing, I'm going to finish this now. I was writing the message on Monday, and I thought, I wonder what verses of from and to and king are in these churches. And every church Paul wrote to had a from, a to, and a king into the church at Corinth, Rome, Galatia, Philippi, Colossae, Ephesus, Thessalonica. All had a from and to and king platform. Look for it in your own time. Flick through. It's really great. Let me just briefly. So the Corinthians had one. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. We've said this. The old has gone, the new has come. Plus 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. We represent our ruler. As though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. The church at Rome. In chapter 6, verse 6. Your old self has been crucified with him. You've gone from your old self. In chapter 1, verse 8. Your faith has been reported all over the world. Of Romans. Service to the king. Chapter 1, verse 6. To those who are called to belong to Christ Jesus. To the Galatian church, you are no longer a slave to your old ways, but God's child. That's your from. Being slaves to being children of the king. A from and to a new king. To the Philippian church, chapter 3. Shine like stars in the universe as new creations. Forgetting what is behind, says Paul, I'm from. I'm pressing on toward the goal. I'm to. It's amazing. And Philippian church, you need to know that your citizenship is in heaven. You're part of a new kingdom. From and to and king. To the Colossian church, the gospel has been bearing fruit in you since you heard it. The fruit of transformation. From a fruitless life to a fruitful one serving Christ. And you've been brought, chapter 1:13 of Colossians, into the kingdom of the Son, King Jesus. The Ephesian church turns from their witchcraft and sorcery to serve their new king as citizens of heaven. You are citizens of God's household and of heaven. Wow, this is incredible. So this is what transformation looks like. New direction from our old lives to a new life in Jesus, serving a new master. A reportable transformation. For they themselves report, verse 9 of 1 Thessalonians 1, what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. You know, in the Thessalonian church, there were no secret disciples. There's no such thing. No such thing as a secret disciple when it comes to the churches here, and these were under severe pressure. But a gathering of God's people in Thessalonica, who in the midst of the very worst of trials were publicly happy, publicly delighted to own the name of Jesus and demonstrate to a watching world what following King Jesus looked like. Wow. Wouldn't it be amazing? Imagine someone saying, do you go there? Wow, I heard someone, I heard that story of, not of the church, but you know, wow. So I'll just finish with this as the group come in a moment. We're going to sing in a moment, "Made a King of My Heart." I love that song. "Made a King of My Heart be the wind." It may just be there. But can I just ask you today, just a final question. What's your story in Jesus this morning? What's your from? What's your to? Did you turn from then? Have you turned to serve? Is it, I've always done this? I've just always done church. Can I just say this finally? Please forgive me. We don't do Jesus. We're in Jesus. We're in Christ. I've always done church. I've always done this ministry. I've always done. We don't do Jesus. We're in Jesus. From and to. And he's my master. Anyone, that includes you, if you don't know Jesus today, can I say, come to him. He loves you incredibly. Incredibly. So much that he went to the cross. If you'd have been the only person on the planet, it has still gone for you. Your name. For God so loved Keith. Insert your name. For God so loved your name that he gave his only son. That if Keith believed in him, he wouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone, that's you. Can't get out of that one. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. They've come from, to. The old has gone. The new has come. New direction. New master. New life. New hope. All over the world. No wonder. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That as you possess us, as we open ourselves, Holy Spirit, to you, as you come, even subconsciously you're working in our lives. As you come, I pray that I will have a complete addiction to you, an obsession, an allegiance, Lord, that through the valleys, through the hard times, I can say you are my King. You're my Lord. Lord, I want to have a noticeable change. I want to have a from and a to. Oh, I ask that you turn me around, Lord. In my mind and in my actions, I have a repentance that says, sorry, Lord, I want to do things your way. Thank you for the blood that was shed for me at the cross, that I might even begin to know you, my master. As that song says, I'm ready to do your will. Use me. And I pray that you'll be famous, not that I'll be reported all over the world, but you will be. And that as an international project, I'll take part in that and be pleased to serve you, my King, the King of my heart, in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't want to encourage you to come for, if there's anything that's prompted your heart today, come to pray. I'll be probably sat on the comfort seat at the end. I'd love to pray with you, chat with you. I'd deeply love that. So what does it look like to follow King Jesus? Thank you too for the members for staying, and we'll probably gather on this side of the room in a few moments time, whatever, after the service. We'll just allow the Spirit to work after the service. Let's not formalize it right away, and let's see what the Spirit is saying to us. And let's stand and sing together as we, if you're able to, or maybe you want to reflect in your seat, that's, you have permission, remember? Whatever that looks like for you.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.